Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Appreciate that very much. Let's open God's Word to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16. Talk about prayer. And just want to remind you, kind of top of the list here, be in prayer for this assembly, that God will lead us on where He wants us to meet to worship. I know that's just a kind of a physical thing, but it's important that we know and be where it's best for our whole setup here and worship. So just please be in prayer in regard to the leading of the Spirit and where God will lead us in that respect. Now, in regard to various circumstances going on, first of all, let's go to Tucson, Arizona, and John Hintz's house. John is getting a little better. Judy is not. And she has to go to school every day at work, and that just brings her down. She comes home really tired and even worse. So just be in prayer for Judy and that she'll recover from all of this. It's a possibility, John and I were talking, that this could just hang on through the whole rest of the semester and just continue and not ever really having the time to just sit down and take stuff, but even by taking the antibiotic and stuff, that it just will hang on. So we need to be in prayer for Judy, and school's already rough on her poor little body, so please be in prayer. Also in their house is Courtney, and she's not doing that well. The baby's still in her womb and all, but she's just she's throwing up, she's sick, she's a lot of things going on. And so please be in prayer for Courtney and her husband as they're there. And so just be in prayer. And I want to just kind of add to all the things that John has on his plate, his teaching and his studying and teaching. But he also has Dan and Pat's dog. Abby's there. And so the pig died. Pig died. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No. Yeah. The pig went to hog heaven. And so he's got the dog, and so just be in prayer for John and Judy and the house, the Risleys, their entire ministry. How did we do on the Risleys offering? Okay. All right. So let's just be in prayer for the Risleys this time. And let's see. Any prayer requests for what's right here? Anybody? Yes.
Thanksgiving. You know, the young policeman that I put on our prayer list.
Yeah.
His name was Josh, and he had had a stroke. He was 20 years old, and he had a stroke. They thought maybe from overlifting weight that he had done something.
Yes, that happens.
Anyway, he's been off work like 2 months or 3 months. They've been paying him. Police department's been paying him, and he was okay to go back to active duty.
Very good. Yesterday.
And the week before, he and his fiancée married.
They got married?
Yeah, they got married. They knew he was going to be all right.
Boy, he has a stroke and things just good start happening in his life.
I know. All right. Anyway,
I would imagine that they've changed his workout routine also.
I think it was his own workout routine.
Oh. So he was doing it all on himself.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. Because
yeah.
If you're macho, gung-ho, and all that, it's bad enough in the gym, but if you're just at home, you get carried away beyond.
I think he's on the SWAT team, and they're pretty gung-ho.
Squats?
SWAT team.
Oh, SWAT team, okay.
And he's getting ready to get married.
No, he got married.
Oh,
Yeah, when he had the stroke, he's getting married. Man, I'm telling you, he's trying to get ready for everything. SWAT team and married team. So, wow. Well, let's be in prayer. It's Josh, right?
Yeah.
Let's be in prayer. And as I said, let's be in prayer for one another in the spiritual warfare. Okay, let's begin with our study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. People, I just cannot overemphasize, we're getting ready to close out the direct discussion on the Holy Spirit, how important this is. Just not enough teachings on the Holy Spirit in my own, throughout my whole life. And not enough correct teaching. And here Jesus Christ is, just prior to the crucifixion, resurrection, and departing to heaven. I mean, 13, 14, 15, and 16, he's been talking about the Holy Spirit. So it's that important. So let's prepare ourselves for our study in prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. How dependent we are on the Holy Spirit to even just enjoy reading it, to allow Him to open our eyes to things when we just sit down and open the Bible and just read it. How dependent we are to see what's going on in the Holy Spirit, Father. I thank you, Father, for where you've taken us on this journey. And I know that we certainly didn't cover everything that was there. But thank you for the journey. And Father, pray that we'll always just somewhere be back and understanding more and more about you, about your Son, and about your Spirit. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in verse 14, and we're in a little summary, and I'm so sorry that I stopped short in the middle of a summary. I hate doing that, but verse 14, coming off of the important 12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And then he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, and in verse 14, he, me. Remember, I love the way the actual Greek is set up. They're right there together. He, me, and it's emphatic. He himself, just me, shall glorify. For he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. Now, what we did in closing last week, we put this together not with verse 15, but with verse 13. It's kind of get a flow of what's going on. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, Day of Pentecost, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now, people, this is going to become very important, that little phrase, what is to come, in verses 16 and following. It's going to be very important. So we're going to come back to that little phrase, what is to come. Then verse 14, he, me, shall glorify, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. So let's quickly go over 1 through point 4. 1, Jesus Christ glorified God the Father by revealing God the Father. 2, so in like manner the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ by revealing Jesus Christ. Then point 3, we went through all of this last week. The Holy Spirit will take information that belongs to Jesus Christ and disclose it to the believers. Take of mine. Information that belongs to Jesus Christ, disclose it to believers. Point 4, here's the hidden part. All that belongs to Jesus Christ, the humanity of Christ, he received from God the Father. For God the Father loves God the Son and shows him all things. Chapter 5 of John, verses 19 and 20. Okay, so everything that Jesus Christ says he received from God the Father. Point 5. Therefore, the content of what is mine in verse 14 is only the revelation from God the Father himself. And here we looked at Revelation 1:1, where in Revelation 1:1 we have the revelation, revelation singular, of Jesus Christ. It's amazing, just to talk with you a moment, just simple little things. I hope you know titles of books are not divinely inspired. I hope you know that. God didn't give those inspirations. Some preacher was on TV and God's into numbers. He even named a book Numbers. See, he's into numbers. He's into having great crowds. And I'm sitting there going, wrong, wrong, wrong. On every level, you're wrong. But so I hope we realize that the names of books are man's doing. Verses, numbers, and chapters and all that, that's man's doing. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't help in some respects. In some respects, you go, wow, what kind of a break is that? In seminary, we used to talk about how the scribes must have been riding in an ox or horse-drawn little carriage and was doing it, and the carriage, the buggy dipped and everything, and then he made a verse break, because some of them just don't fit. Some verses and chapters, but they're not divinely inspired. They help us. They're good addresses. We can all kind of go to the same thing. If you had to do this in the Greek, it'd be unbearable, because the Greek has no real periods. No, I mean, just written. Just written. And the Hebrew is the same thing. Just written. And now, for our seminary students and later students of the Word, they've given us periods and breaks and all these things for our reading and study. But none of this is divinely inspired. Okay. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. See, it belonged to God. Revelation about Jesus Christ belonged to God. If you don't understand it, just accept it by faith. It's the best thing I can say to you. But we're talking about the humanity of Jesus Christ. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, Jesus Christ, to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. Take that with our statement in John 16. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Then you add it with this statement, things which must shortly take place. So you just have consistencies, people, that you just sort of miss. I miss them, but when you studying just this, and you, oh, look, wow, there it is. The Holy Spirit teach things to come here, which must shortly take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant, John. So, point 5 again, the content of, in verse 14, what is mine is only revelation from God the Father himself. Point 6 now. Being from God the Father, it glorifies God the Father as well as glorifying the Son. The Son came to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit came to glorify the Son, which in effect is the glorification of the Father. Just want you to kind of see how all of this fits together. And then point 7. Therefore, always run from those who in any way deny the sonship of Jesus Christ, who he is in truth. And that would be what the Mormons do. And the Muslims, for in so doing, they're attacking what? When they're incorrect in understanding Jesus Christ, they're attacking God, the Father. So they're attacking the glory of the Father himself. So we have so many problems in the world today, the Mormons, the Muslims, and unfortunately a lot of people even under the Christian umbrella. Okay. There are two parts. Before we close this up now, there are two parts in glorifying Jesus Christ. One is to increase in the knowledge of Christ. We glorify Christ in the increase of the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1:17. You want to glorify Christ? Here we go. I want to glorify Christ, therefore I'll join a choir. Therefore I'll sing. Therefore I'll do this or that. Well, let's see what the text says. Ephesians 1:17. That God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is what God the Father gives us. Now if you look at 2 Peter a moment, we have two passages we want to look at in 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God. How is grace and peace multiplied to us? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look at 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So be it. So the first way we glorify Jesus Christ, increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Growing in it. Secondly, second way to glorify Christ is to love as Jesus Christ loves. To love as Christ loved. And for this, let's turn together to 1 John. 1 John. Find Revelation. Go back from Revelation. You'll find 1 John. Stop at chapter 2. First John chapter 2. And we want to look at verse 5. 1 John 2:5. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Now you are in him, whether or not you know it or not, depending upon walking in the Spirit, experiencing this love. Look at chapter 3 of 1 John. Chapter 3, and let's read verses 10 and 11. Chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The very beginning of the church age, as Jesus Christ in the upper room with the disciples. Look at verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life, that is spiritual death, into eternal life, spiritual life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death, even the believer. When you and I are out of the filling of the Spirit, we're spiritually dead. We're not loving as Christ loved. Look at verse 16 through 18, same chapter, 16 through 18. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Indeed means what we do in our life, and truth means in the power of the Holy Spirit. Truth is to the glorification and the love of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 7. In fact, we're going to read verses 7 through 12 here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Okay, doesn't stop there. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16 through 21. All this deals with this glorification of Christ, glorifying, magnifying, exalting Christ by this love. Verse 16. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. You know, this is the only attribute of God, both in the Old and New Testament, that we are put faith in, is the love of God. I think it's very interesting. Doesn't mean we don't put a faith in God. Certainly we do. But these are just attributes of God pulled out and made an object of our faith. Okay, let's take a look now. Verse 16. And we have come to know, by the study of the Word, walking in the Spirit, and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Great question is, how do you abide in love? That's the great question. And the answer to that is faith in the Holy Spirit. Being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Verse 17. By this, love is perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, that's the fruit of the Spirit, cast out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. When I was working on the SAD study, read just multitude of hours and things, books, reports and stuff. How many children are in fear of one of their parents, generally their dad, in fear of them? You can't have that if there's love. It's not going to both reside there, a fear and a love. So God, we understand he's going to discipline us, but it's not wrapped up in a fear of him. Okay, verse 17, by this love is perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so also we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Now, one more little passage. Let's get a look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if you want to write down, I know some of you write it down, we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 4. So we're going to read through verse 4 in chapter 4 after we read verse 17 of chapter 3. Okay, verse 17. Now that you're saved, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Okay? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in that state of liberty, walking in the Spirit, into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Holy Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now here's verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And I love this, people, because as we are being transformed into the image of Christ, we're being transformed into the image of God, which is where all of this started in Genesis. Chapter 1, created in the image of God, which we lost. We're just gaining it back. We're being transformed when you walk by faith in the Spirit, grow in the knowledge of Christ, love as Christ loved, you're being transformed into the image of Christ, who is the image of God. God is love. So you see how this whole thing just fits together in a miraculous way. Okay, let's go back now to John 16. Verse 14. He shall glorify, for he shall take of mine, that's truth about me, and disclose it to you. Now, he adds clarification on the phrase in verse 15, taking of mine. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you, the oneness of the Trinity. This verse is due to, verse 15 is due to that all importance of mine in verse 14. And due to the fact that throughout the Old Testament, all prophecies of the future were credited to God alone. But now he's saying he's going beyond that now and saying, they're mine. Okay, let's summarize. Give a summary of where we are. One, Jesus Christ, motivated by spiritual love toward his own. Chapter 13, verse 1. Gospel of John 13, 1, he loved his own to the end. Knowing that all that was going to be required to be of the believers throughout the period of his absence on earth, that is the church age, Jesus Christ asked God the Father to give to each believer the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. So point one, Jesus Christ, motivated by love, chapter 13, verse 1, knowing all that was going to happen and was going to be required of believers throughout all the church age, including right up to today, during his absence, he asked God the Father to give to each believer the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, chapter 14, 16, 17. Jesus Christ knew the world would hate Christians, especially those who walk in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ knew the difficulty of living with one another, husband, wife, family, friends, the difficulty of it. My goodness, it's difficult to live with yourself. My recommendation to somebody who's thinking about getting married, hey, if you thought it was just a battle living with yourself, okay, go ahead and get married. Because it's going to require even more of walking by faith in the Spirit. See? Living, you're not going to escape it. I always like to think of Paul. Paul said, well, I'm going to avoid a lot if I just don't get married. Well, look what happened to Paul. A demon came and punched him out every now and then. You're not going to get away from it. See? So Jesus Christ knew how the world would hate Christianity, hate Christians, especially those who walk by faith in the Spirit. People, we've been fooled in America. We've been under glass in America. Americans really haven't suffered being a Christian. I think the days are coming, and are now, right now. We're living in them. They're going to get worse. It's not going to be so easy being a Christian. So Jesus Christ knew the difficulty of living with one another without spiritual love. Jesus Christ knew the difficulty of living in this world without the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ knew the difficulty of just living in the flesh without the Holy Spirit. Flesh sets its desires against God. Jesus Christ knew the difficulty of living under Satan's schemes without the Holy Spirit. So therefore, point two. So Jesus Christ sends to us another paraclete, P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. I just prefer that over helper, counselor, all these other words. Another paraclete. Another one just like him. Similar, but different. Jesus Christ called him the Spirit of Truth. And out of his love, he sent to us the Spirit of Truth to indwell each one of us throughout all the church age. Spiritual love looks after the needs of others. Jesus Christ is looking after our needs. He saw all these things, how the world's going to hate us and all that's going to happen. He cares. So he sent us the paraclete. Point three. Jesus Christ sent the Spirit of Truth to teach us the truth, to guide us into truth, to disclose future things to come, to remind us of the truth. People, it's impossible to learn truth apart from the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, it is impossible. The flesh cannot do this. I don't care how intelligent you are. It's often been seen a lot of times that the intelligence of the flesh gets in the way of grasping the truth of Scripture. Now, does that mean we're not going to teach little children Bible stories and all? No. Doesn't mean that at all. Does that mean that we're fooling ourselves thinking they're grasping all these things? No. Not at all. My example here is the Apostle Paul. Nobody knew the Old Testament scriptures like a rabbi, like the Jews that he was part of, the Jewish school. They could roll it up, any of the scrolls, take a pen, and tell you every word that it went through. That's how well they knew it. Now, did he understand it? Not a word. Then, after his conversion, he was out on a road, out in the desert. Jesus Christ taught him. And he said, now, you know that story about Abraham? Yeah. Okay, let me explain to you. You know that story about Noah? Let me explain it to you. You know that story about, yeah. So now in the filling of the Spirit, I can imagine just Paul going crazy in that class with Jesus Christ. When it just, all the light started coming on. I mean, he just must have went crazy. So that's what's going on with this. Point four. Jesus Christ gave to us the Holy Spirit that we might love as he loves and fulfill the new commandment. Again, it is impossible to love as Christ loved without the Holy Spirit. So point three, he gave us the Holy Spirit that we might learn truth. It is impossible to learn truth without the Holy Spirit. Point four, he gave us the Holy Spirit that we might love as he loved and fulfill the new commandment. It is impossible to love without the Holy Spirit. Point five, Jesus Christ gave us the Holy Spirit that we might have divine guidance. Guided where he would have us to go, just as it did with him in Luke 4. And finally, point six, Jesus Christ gave us the Holy Spirit because he knew it would be impossible to bear fruit. First part of chapter 15, the fruit bearing, to bear fruit that would glorify Jesus Christ, or glorify the Father without the Holy Spirit. So, he gave us the Holy Spirit that we might learn biblical truth. He gave us the Holy Spirit that we might love as he loved. He gave us the Holy Spirit that we might be guided in our walk. And he gave us the Holy Spirit that we might bear fruit that would glorify God the Father. Now, we're closing this segment of our study. And I look here in this classroom. Most of you here come to Sunday morning in our study of the Basics, Gospels, Basics series. But on the internet, they don't. And I want to be part of this study. A quick look at what we looked at. And this is what brought it up. Getting ready for that one. Closing this one down. I just wanted part of this. So if you will, in closing this section of the Gospel of John, if you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians 3. To Ephesians 3, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we'll do it by looking at Paul's prayer. So we're going to close up our study on the Holy Spirit at this point in dealing with John 16 by looking at Paul's prayer in regard to the Holy Spirit. Give us some more enlightenment from all that we've done in the Gospel of John. All that we've done. And we've done a lot on the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. So here we go. Gospel of John, and I've decided what I'm going to do on a basic series. I was going to end it with spiritual love, but I've just decided that if the Holy Spirit is that important, and he is, since the Holy Spirit, I'm going to close on the Holy Spirit. And Jim Langston said, well, you really want to include lessons 304, 320, 321, whatever they were. And I looked them up, and I found them. And we're going to incorporate it in our closing of our study and in the series, on the basic series. So, but I want it part of this one. I want this to be part of this study on the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. Okay, so John, or Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, it's coming up, not previous, but coming up. I, Paul, bow my knees before the Father. Fervent prayer. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. In other words, all people, all things. Verse 16. In order that. Now people, you want to pay a close attention to those little expressions like that. They're, if you diagrammed it, you took the time out, you just put these words over on the left-hand side. And just watch how they flow. In order that he, God the Father, would grant you, graciously give, according to the riches of his glory. Remember that your prayers and the answering of your prayers, based on God's glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Right here is why we turn to the passage along with John 16, John 15, 16, 14, 15, 16. Where the disciples, what did we read in John 16? You are not able to bear. Remember that? Not able to bear. More things that I want to teach you. Right here is why we're looking at this passage. Because Paul is praying they will be strengthened with power through his Spirit. See? More doctrine, more theology, more teaching. And why were they not able to bear more teaching that Jesus Christ wanted to do? Because they did not have the Holy Spirit, who gives the power or the ability to advance in biblical truth, or just to grasp it and then to grow in it. Now, also note that Jesus Christ, upon leaving the earth, sent them and every believer the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now we come to the prayer of Paul. And what is Paul's prayer? That they will be, that they'll use the indwelling of the Spirit, is what the prayer is about, basically. That they will be strengthened with power. Okay, every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every believer in the church age has the indwelling of the Spirit. But they need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Paul will tell how this happens. By faith. So first we need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We receive that at the point of faith in Christ. Then we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father in order that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Now, let's put it together. First, God saves us by grace through faith. Then God supplies with the indwelling, along with 33 other things. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Now, I have a reason for doing this. Let's please turn to Galatians 3, 5 a moment. It's just back one book. A couple of pages, depending on your Bible. Galatians 3, 5. Does He, God the Father, then, who provides or supplies you, the believer, with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, even working power? That's the correct translation. Even working power in you. Not working miracles among you, but working power in you, do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith. So God the Father graciously supplies every believer with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So what is Paul praying here in Ephesians 3? That God will strengthen with power through His Spirit. He is praying that they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not that they will have the indwelling of the Spirit, but that they will be empowered by the Spirit. People, let me just tell you, personal, before I come here, I pray, whoever is here on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but now Tuesday, Wednesday, will be led of the Spirit to be here, as you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit in regard to the teaching. Every time. And it's not a redundant prayer. I mean it. It's a very serious prayer. And that's what Paul is praying here. They will be receive the impact, the effect of the filling of the Spirit, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. This is that working power, Galatians 5:5. Strengthened by supernatural power in the inner man. We have to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit because the flesh cannot grasp biblical truth. Strengthened with power. Oh boy. I didn't do this Sunday morning in our study of the basics. But I spent time here for this one. Looked up and did some work on it. This strengthened with power. It's kind of, what's going on here? Well, I want to share some things with you. Strengthened with power. Let's take a look at strengthened. It's an aorist passive, and that means, as you know, that we'll receive it, of the verb krataio. And this looks like this. And it's not a familiar word. Okay, this is K-R-A-T-A-I-O, long O. Krataio. Okay, now first thing I want you to know, this word. This is the only appearance of it in the New Testament. Second thing I want you to know is, see that double O here? That double O brings out that which a person is or desired. When did we see something like this? We saw it in Romans chapter 3, where we are justified. Dikaioo. Made justified, made righteous. So here, that we will have this, be characterized by this power. Now, what I want you to do, krataoo, this is where we get our word kratic. Kratic. Democratic. People rule. Autocratic. Self rule. Plutocratic. Financial rule, or rule by money. Rule, money, rule. The word means to rule. The word means to strengthen. It means to come under the power. It means to grasp. Has these kind of meanings. It means to be strong. It means mastery. Now, I spent probably a half a day trying to research on this word. Classical Greek. I went to all kinds of stuff. I have a big classical Greek dictionary, and it was no help, and so I had to get on the internet, do a lot of things and stuff, just not all of that amount of work on it, just not that much, and dealing with this word. Why we have this word, I want to cover in a moment. Put all this together with you. There's no way we can grasp Scripture or the love of God, the love of Christ, without the Holy Spirit. Now, this says to be strengthened, the mastery of what? Look what it says. With power. With power. This is the word dunamis. Dunamis. D-I-D-U-M-I-A-M-I-S. Dunamis. D-I-N-A-M-I-S. Dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. Dunamis. Alright? Strengthened with power. Okay? Working power of God. And this is supplied by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's take a look now at our phrase, strengthened with power. Okay? One. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're saved forever. We have imputed righteousness and are justified. Two. But we are still not able to grasp even the Word of God. Even though we're believers, 34 things imputed, given to us, we're still not able to grasp the Word of God. Principle, John 16:12. Three, so God in His grace gives us the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son gives us the Holy Spirit. Four, now we have the capability. Doesn't mean we're going to do it. But we have the potential to grasp the Word of God. So all we have to do is to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Get under the teaching of the Word of God. A miracle occurs, people. A miracle. Now we're able to Think about it. We're able to grasp the mysteries of God in this book. I know this. People think, oh, they can just sit down and read and it's going to come to them. People got to understand how difficult this is to grasp the true meaning of Scripture. Understand it. My grandchildren were over today and they asked me if I read the whole Bible through. And I said, yes. And said, well, have you done it 20 times? And I said, probably not 20 times. Well, yeah. I said, no. And they, oh, well, this one guy's read it 26 times and all that. And I said, people, it doesn't matter how many times you read it. It doesn't matter whether you can memorize it, all that. It's understanding it. That's a great issue. I think it went right over their head. Oh, you know, got any ice cream? You know, just that's the way their little mind are after school. But people just, the ability to understand is a miracle. The Holy Spirit is a strength, a power inside of you, causes us to understand Scripture and to love as Christ loved. God works from within. Not from without to the inside, the way man does. Well, I'm going to get you to stop stealing and that'll make you a better person. But stop it from the outside. God works on the inside. Now note at the end of the verse where the strength is exercised. In the inner man. This is where we grasp the Word of God. This is where we're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is where the love of Jesus Christ is poured into us. Okay, Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. Verse 16, in order that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that, okay, see how this goes? I bow my knees to the Father in order that, let's see how this is going to work, so you can just have a picture of this. In order that. Now here's the content of his prayer. In order that he would grant you according to the riches of his glories to be strengthened, I'll just use the S, strengthened in power. Strengthened in power in the inner man. Why? So that, we come back out here, so that. Verse 17. So that. Why we want to be strengthened with power in the inner man? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And if you remember Sunday morning, we saw an extended translation of this that I like. Christ may settle down in your hearts through faith. Now the question arises, how? Why? Does Jesus Christ settle down in our hearts? People, it's not by something that you do. It's not because you go to church, read the Bible, sing gospels, or try to be a good person. If it's not by anything we do, then how is this going to happen? Jesus Christ can settle down in your heart when you consistently walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in the whole power of the Spirit, you know, two or three minutes today, and then maybe 4 or 5 days, another 2 or 3 minutes. Try having a relationship with anybody that way. It ain't going to work. You meet somebody you love, what do? You think you're going to follow? Well, you're always on the phone in our society. You're on the phone. You're there. You're over there. You're bothering them. You're bugging them. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're always with them. And you want to be with them. And then pretty soon, it's just they and you start feeling very comfortable with each other. They feel safe with you and you feel safe with them. Things start happening when you spend more time with someone. Things happen in a positive way. Things happen in a negative way. What do I mean? Well, as you spend more time with this person, you're not thinking about other people. Let's pick on a guy. Guy dates a lot. Has different dates and all this stuff. A lot of different girlfriends and things. Meets this gal. So he starts spending more and more time with her. Less time with the others. Less concentration. More time on her. Start feeling very comfortable. That's what this is talking about. Christ may feel comfortable. The Holy Spirit makes room, not you. Know carefully how or why Jesus Christ will fill a home in your heart. That so that Christ may settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts through faith, by means of faith. Okay. In order that be strengthened with power through the inner man, so that Christ may dwell or feel at home in your heart. So Jesus Christ at home in you, and this by faith. Now look, we have another one of these. That! See, that just goes, in order that, so that, that. You being rooted and grounded in love. Here's rooted and grounded in love. Spiritual love. Being rooted and grounded. And we rooted means that we have taken a foundation, and it feeds energy, gives supplies energy, gives growth, and grounded is laying a foundation. Now look what it says. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able. May be able. Here's a goal. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and depth of the love of Christ. May be able. There is the kicker. This is really, really interesting in the Greek. May be able. We have three important words here. Be able, comprehend, and know. John 16, cannot bear them. Cannot bear them. Galatians 3:5, working power in you. Galatians 3:16, strengthened with power. Now we have be able. Comprehend and know. All these words depend on the work of the Holy Spirit. All right, people, we have to take a look at be able. Boy, and I hate the time right now. Be able. I got to be able to finish this. Be able. This is really interesting in the Greek. The word is, and this, excuse me, this is the word that only occurs one time in the New Testament. So the word that I spend all the time on. It is eisko. Looks like this. If you're interested, it looks like this, even if you're not. C-H-U-O. Okay. And that is this is E-I-S-C-H-O-U-O. Okay. Now, what does this word mean? The word comes from ek, E-K. And ek has the idea out of and things. Plus, iskuo. And it means to be strong or able. This is the word. I just spent too much time to get nowhere. I mean, just wasn't that much. So, this is what it came down to. One lexicon gave it pretty good. This word is the strongest word available to indicate strength or ability. It is stronger than just iskuo, that's this part here, which in turn is stronger than dunamai, which he's just used the verse above, stronger than dunamai, which is also translated to be able. So people, think about what's going on here. This is the strongest working of the Holy Spirit. The strongest word that he could come up with in language, in the Greek language, Paul pulls it up to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do what? To grasp the love of Christ. How many people think they understand the love of Christ? Nearly everybody. People, it takes the greatest amount of work of the Holy Spirit. The best way I can do this for you is, I had fun doing this one. Let's go through God in the Bible. And I'm only going to pick out one or two here. Giving of the law. giving of the law. You know what that took? That took the finger. The finger of God. Let me read for you Exodus 31:18. Exodus 31:18. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tables of the testimony, tables of stone, written by the finger of God. Just his finger. Just, there it is. That's how easy. That's how easy. But when it came to redeeming mankind, it talks about the arm of God. To give us the law, piece of cake. Here it is. To redeem us, it took his arm to redeem mankind. So give you some idea of how impossible it is for man to understand the Word of God and to grasp the love of God. The Holy Spirit leads Paul to use the strongest word available to show the work of the Holy Spirit. It takes all of this so that you and I can finally comprehend the love of Christ. Understand the Word of God. You got to have this power, got to have this strength, got to have this ability. And this is the strongest word available for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 3:18, may be able to comprehend. May be able to comprehend. Now the word to comprehend is the aorist middle infinitive of katalambano. It's a simple word. It means to comprehend, to apprehend, to attain, to grasp. Middle voice says this is what happens to the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to have the phrase in verse 19, and to know. But we'll have to close at this point. But what I want you to see is just to grasp the love of God, the love of Christ, people. Don't think this is a simple little thing that anybody, many of these emotional, charismatic people are, or any of these people are, bring the strongest word, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's like talking about the arm of the Holy Spirit to cause us to understand and grasp, to know, to comprehend the love of Jesus Christ. I have it in my notes. We'll cover it next week. But just to give you an idea of what's going on here, what is the love of Christ to the world? 1 Corinthians tells us it's foolishness. It's foolishness. Christ to die on a cross, foolishness. We won't have time to develop this in our Sunday morning, in our basic study, but people, spiritual laws can make you look very weak. Law makes you look strong. Spiritual gifts make you look strong. Knowledge of doctrine makes you look strong. To love, looks like you're foolish and weak. Look at Christ on the cross. Does that look like a strong Savior? No, look weak. Look at Jesus Christ on the knees, on his knees washing their feet. It takes the strength of the Holy Spirit to make us able, cause us to be able to even comprehend the love of Christ, the love of God that would send his Son. Many people have a lot of trouble understanding why God would send his Son. What kind of God is that? The Abraham study. People, you cannot grasp this love. It's not something that the ordinary person is going to... The ordinary person wouldn't even have a chance. The ordinary Christian's not going to have a chance. You're going to have to learn to walk in the filling of the Spirit. Christ starts feeling at home in you, in your soul. And the Holy Spirit starts giving you this, makes it give you the ability to comprehend this love. Surpasses understanding, surpasses knowledge. It requires the Holy Spirit. People, we're so dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It's unbelievable. Yes, we're here to glorify Christ, but in order to get there, we've got to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's like somebody might think my ministry is about faith. Ministry is not about faith. My ministry, I would like to think my ministry is about loving as Christ loved, spiritual love. But I have to talk about faith so much because that's how you're going to get there. And now we've added another dimension even to that. That when we walk by faith in the Spirit, then we give Him this, if we are consistent with this, we give Him the place to use that unbelievable power, miraculous power of understanding something that's beyond human understanding. The love of God, which means what? Understanding God, for God is love. So just even understanding God. It's how close we're getting. Once you start grasping this love, you're grasping God. Because God is love. Okay, we'll resume here next Wednesday night. Yes. No, it's His ability. Yeah. But it takes, we're so weak that He has to, as it were, just using the analogy of the finger and the arm. It takes, we're so weak, it takes Him both arms, as it were, to cause us to be able to comprehend this faith, this love, and the Word. Okay. The reason it takes strength is not with Him. It's with us. It's with us. It's like a teacher. Man, I've just got to meet with you after class, meet with you on the weekends, and all. It's not because the teacher has a problem. It's the student has the problem. So that would be what we're talking about here. It just takes the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to work this miracle in us that we would grasp this truth about His love. Yeah. Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at You. We stand amazed at Your grace, Your benevolence, Your love, Your mercy. Giving all this to the humanity of Christ that we might be sons of God in Christ. And then You gave to us the Holy Spirit, the purpose that we might grasp You, Your love, Your Word. Us, sinners, weak, unimportant even by the world standards. The news isn't talking about us. Newspapers aren't talking about us. We're not going to go down in history books. And yet You supplied us with Your Spirit that the miracle of understanding Your Word, understanding and grasping Your love, might be in this body of ours, the soul of ours, this heart. We praise You, Father. We indeed stand amazed at Your amazing grace. Not just in saving us, but all that You do after that. We praise You, Father. And it's our purpose to take advantage of all of this. Take advantage of the indwelling of the Spirit. Spend time in the filling of the Spirit so that more and more Jesus Christ will feel comfortable at home in our hearts and reveal His love to us, that we might love as He loved, that we might understand the mysteries of Scripture, glorify You in glorifying Your Son in our short little brief time on earth. Wow. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.